南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Okay. Hi, everyone. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your support by liking and subscribing. You guys are helping grow this sangha and making it easier for the search results to bring Nichiren's doctrine of Shakyamuni's teaching of the Lotus Sutra to more people. That's our bodhisattva work. So tremendous gratitude for that. And now I'm going to ask something else of you. Lately, I've added another light to this setup. I'm still trying to hone in on something pleasant to watch, even though my wonderful face is in the center. I at least want to make it... I can see I'm looking at old snapshots of old videos here where I'm dark on some days. The light keeps changing in this room because of these large window doors on either side of me, which is fine, but I'm trying to nail down a pleasing lighting scenario for me in the middle of this so that there's some consistency. So if you have anything to say about that, let me know in the comments. I know it's not really a Buddhist conversation, but it is in that we want to make this sangha and these co-learning teaching sessions as the less distractions, the better, right? So a nice, pleasing image that's consistent. Anyway, too much on that. I wrote a note for myself on this, what we're about to read. Because as you've experienced already from what we've read so far, there's a lot of word salad around these concepts, right? You have Shakyamuni trying to communicate with the people of his time, and not just the people of his time, but the people who are dedicated to learning what he has to say. And so the nature of that endeavor, whether it's Buddhism or algebra or, you know, anything, cooking, you're going to have this impediment of communicating with this language that we have to explain something that we individually understand through our own experience and convey that experience through these very fluid sounds, right? And, you know, this language, these words, these so on and so forth, to another mind, another sentient mind, whose experience of the world, life, themselves, and let alone what is being discussed, is completely their own. We make a mistake in general, and this is an insight of Buddhism that I find the most obvious and easily experienced, proven, right? Is how many times we have to repeat ourselves to others in not only the same words, but then we struggle with, let me see if I can say this another way. Because the problem is obvious. What they're hearing, and what they look at us, what's your friend, your sister, your parent, your associate looks directly at you and says, I get it. I know what you mean. It's like, and then they say something and you go, oh, no, that's not at all what I mean. I see how you got there, but now let me revise how I blah, 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 blah to you in terms of how I think you're now understanding me, so that I can get you to shift toward what I'm actually trying to convey. And then they go, oh, well, how's that different than what I just said? Well, right? And we do this all the time. Okay. This is absolutely exactly what the Lankavatara is dealing with. Shakyamuni, an enlightened person capable of staying in his Buddha-ness, is trying to communicate that Buddha-ness and how to go from Shakyamuni the man into Shakyamuni Buddha-ness to someone who's like, well, you're a man, I'm a man, what the hell are you talking about? How is what you're talking about not in this you're a man, I'm a man, stuck in this samsaric physical world? How are you speaking about something that is in this physical world, but not of this physical world? How is that not mystical? How am I to understand what you're talking about? And Shakyamuni is like, well, let me try this. Well, let me try that. Let me try again. And slowly but surely, Mahamati's question and the way he's asking, it's shifting, right? We've been watching it shifting, and he's getting closer and closer, but yeah, it's in his language that we see still not making that leap. It's frustrating, right? So, it's kind of like, and this is another, it's another one of my weird little analogies, but I'm going to give it to you first, because maybe with this analogy, then reading it, it'll pop up for itself for you, okay? Let's talk about, it could be anything, but let's say carpentry. That was the idea that came in my head yesterday. When I say carpentry, all of us have some idea what that is, right? For some of us, carpentry is, yeah, that's my new table and chairs in the dining room. That's carpentry, right? For some of us, that's, yeah, I remember watching this house being built and all the framing and the room and the plumbing and the and a lot of carpentry went into building this house, right? For some of us, carpentry is that wonderfully romantic bridge in a country road, a covered bridge. You know, you see it in movies all the time. You know, that magnificent wooden structure that you can even drive a car through it. Wow, the carpentry that went into this, yeah? For some of you, they're huge structures. For some of you, they're tiny little things. They all fall under the rubric of carpentry. Maybe one of the most fundamental things is that it generally means some kind of structural creation, making of wooden, like woodworking is carpentry, you know. And there are many carpenters amongst you who are going to say, no, carpentry is this, right? But I'm saying, in general, when you hear the word carpentry, you have frames of reference of your own reference, yeah? But carpentry isn't a thing. Carpentry isn't even the concept in your mind when you hear the word carpentry is multifaceted, and it's different for every one of us. But still, every single one of us would say, I know what carpentry is. But what Shakyamuni is saying is, you're all very intelligent people, and you all are identifying your own experience of carpentry. But two things. First of all, none of you are carpenters. Some of you are, but go with me here. And because you own a chair and table or live in a house does not mean you know a thing about carpentry. You just identify that label as things that you know. Now we're getting closer to the issue here. Owning a table and chairs, living in a house, crossing that bridge, does not a carpenter make. To be in the experience of carpentry and recognizing what you think and your impression and your experience of carpentry is, are not the same thing. Do you see where I'm getting here? That even, and a carpenter I think would tell you this, a carpenter would distinguish between framing a house, building cabinets for that house, a stairwell, millwork they call it, a staircase. In other words, a carpenter experiencing carpentry would distinguish carpentry as a particular experience. And for that person, it would be more about mathematics, tools, the swinging of the hammer, not the hammer itself, the experience of carpentry wouldn't be the wood or the tools or the thing made. It would be a mental operating parameter that for that individual sentient mind can be efficiently translated and observing and planning and executing the things of carpentry. The actions taken, not the results made, not the product. For experience of carpentry isn't about the product. It's about something else. It's about a mental experience from which many products may come, but the products are not carpentry. Is this starting to make sense? This is the very difficulty Shakyamuni's having describing to the Mahamati the idea of enlightenment of the mind of Buddha-ness unattached, like carpentry is unattached to the chair and table, the house, the bridge, and so on. Those are just produced, ephemeral, arising, abiding, and dissolving over time, expressions of that potential that is carpentry. Does that make sense? Words, right? So let's hear how this goes here. At that time, Mahamati, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, says to Shakyamuni, says to the Enlightened One, Tathagata, tell me, concerning the self nature of Buddhahood. There it is. The conundrum in those very few words. The self nature of Buddhahood. Buddhahood has no self nature, but it is a specific experience, isn't it? If you set about trying to define carpentry, you could write many books. You can go to the library or Amazon right now and just put in books on carpentry, and you'd be flooded with everybody's mother and sister's opinion about carpentry. But those themselves, as voluminous as they are, would not be carpentry. Carpentry is an experience, and that experience potentially can be expressed in innumerable ways. Buddhahood is like this. Buddhahood will be experienced by you differently than it will be experienced by me. It's the same Buddhahood. But because we're samsaric beings and we have a particular, although immense, unfathomably immense set of amalgams of energies that manifest, express themselves as you and me, our emergent sentient mind will perceive through Buddhaness a relatable experience of enlightenment to our karmic freight train, our alaya consciousness. This shouldn't be a surprise. We've been talking around this over and over again in many ways, right? So here's the question. Tell me about the self nature of Buddhahood, as though if it were identified adequately, now I have something I can grasp. There's the problem. You're trying to define something so that you can own it. You don't own Buddhahood. Stop trying to own it, qualify for it. This is what the groups and sects do all the time. They get you thinking that you have to measure up. That if you do X, Y, and Z, you can have a mandala. If you do X, Y, and Z, you can be a good member. You can be practicing right. You can be part of our group. And just in case I haven't said it enough, that is not what you and I are doing. You and I are equals. And together we are studying and digging into the teachings, the voluminous 84,000 quote-unquote teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, not so that we can become experts in every word of his teachings, but as Shakyamuni told you and me, that by enough focus and concentration on all those opinions of carpentry, that one day we can apply ourselves, our own sentient mind, our own experience of samsara, and come to this light, this, I get it. This is Buddhahood. This is Buddhaness. This is what's actually my experience of life. Because you will discover it. You will find in your own, this is what I've been doing all along. I just didn't understand. I didn't understand that what was making me struggle in life were all of these little tendrils of attachment hanging on to things that I don't need to do that. That's the difficulty I'm struggling with. I'm struggling with something that is not struggleable. I've invented it. That doesn't mean it's not real. But the way that I conceive of it, hang on to it, attach emotions to it, I drag situations and relationships and pain along with me when it's absolutely unnecessary. Because if I just change my mind to perceive it as it truly is, it's not so difficult. Or the difficulty of it isn't so crushing. You know, that people forget when we work to attain Buddhahood, we're not looking to float around the planet on a lotus petal. We're looking to live this very life, but from a state of mind, a state of being, a state of perception that understands our entire experience and everything in it as amazing. Even if it's amazingly difficult. Wow, this is really difficult. Instead of, Ugh, I'm going to die. I can't deal with this anymore. I don't know what to do. Stop it. That is what I call the why in the mind. Even if you don't say it, that's your mind going, oh, why is this happening to me? I don't have any power. I can't handle all this. Well, that's not true. This is something you're telling yourself, and that's why you hurt. Carpentry, Buddhahood. I haven't even gotten through the first sentence, sorry. So tell me about the self nature of Buddhahood. Wrong question. Whereby I and other Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, understanding well what constitutes the self nature of the Tathagata. See, I told you. It's like if we can just define Buddhahood, we'll all get it. Because then we can grasp it. You don't grasp Buddhahood. You experience Buddhahood. Moment to moment. We may have both ourselves and others awakened in the truth. Because if we can grasp it, then we can teach other people how to grasp it. No, Mahamati. Everyone will experience it through the very aspect of not grasping that you're missing. Because it's there all along. Underneath all that grasping and identification is Buddhahood going, please experience me. No, 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 I'm busy identifying and owning and having and fretting. Life. No, 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 that's not life. That's your skewed, control freak mind of life. Get the control freak out of there and just peer onto life. So, of course, Shakyamuni says, then Mahamati, ask me as you desire, according to which I will answer. Oh, that's a different response. So he's nailing Mahamati a little bit here. And he's saying, you want to know the self nature of Tathagatahood? What are you really asking? He's going to force Mahamati to think about his question. Because he's just shooting words out at Shakyamuni like he's such a great student, right? But he's not taking the time to really understand what he's asking. And Shakyamuni is getting a little tired of repeating himself, I think. So Mahamati says, okay, is the Tathagata, the fully enlightened one, to be considered unmade or made? Yeah, he's starting to think about this a little bit more now. Is this Buddhahood, is this something we create? Or is it something that's just there, that's not created? That's actually a very insightful distinction on his earlier question, isn't it? Is it an effect or a cause? How do I relate with this thing called Tathagata? He's struggling with it. He doesn't really get it, but at least he's identifying the nature of his struggle better here. Is it predicated or predicating? An expression or what that which is expressed? Ooh, that's the closest he's gotten. Knowledge or that which is knowable? Is the emancipated one different from all these expressions or not? Are you spiritual or are you a being? He's still very dualistic about the idea of Buddhahood. So Shakyamuni says, if the Tathagata, the fully enlightened one, is to be described by those expressions, he is neither made nor unmade, neither an effect nor a cause. Using your words. Because the error of dualism would here be committed. Bingo! But that doesn't disabuse Mahamati of his delusion. He's just now he's confused, yeah? If Mahamati the Tathagata is something made, he is impermanent, right? So obviously, if Buddhahood is something that I hone my skills to achieve, then Buddhahood is just something I own, I achieve. Again, you've squandered the magnificence of the entire experience of life to be yours, as opposed to universal. You're minimizing what you can accomplish, and it's already, it is what you're made of. If you try to perceive of the energies that form the entire universe, I know it breaks the mind to think that, but go along with that for a moment. And you say, of all that energy in the universe, what I know of it, what I can know of, maybe you're a mathematician, maybe you're a great cook, maybe you're a traveler, but whatever your endeavor is, you will find in that endeavor something that you equate to bliss. Yeah? And you can tell yourself that that bliss that you have achieved is the reason for living. Certainly, you wouldn't argue that it is your reason for living. Whether it's everybody else's or not, who cares? It's my life I'm worried about. Have you identified the majesty, the immensity of that which creates or instantiates what we call the universe? Well, for me, I did. Yeah, that's right. But that means that you created that. You found that in yourself. You can't translate that to someone else. You can't lead someone else to that realization. It's yours. Therefore, that's not the all universal enlightenment. Right? But Sylvain, you say we all reach our own Buddhahood. Well, this is a problem of language, isn't it? What we attain is enlightenment, is Buddhahood, singular. But we attain it through our own path, of our consciousnesses, of our alaya makeup, our karma, our freight train of karma. What we attain is universal. Well, that's what we're hoping to obtain, yeah? And with Shakyamuni's teaching of the Lotus Sutra, as Nichiren points out, we can do that immediately. That's also the fascination that we have as we practice Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. It's not a personal created thing. It's in us and all around us and much larger than us. And we experience all of that within our own samsaric experience. That's why we see the immensity of it. That's the amazing teaching of the Lotus Sutra, yes? If Mahamati, the Tathagata, is something made, he is impermanent. If he is impermanent, anything made would be a Tathagata, which is not desired by myself and other Tathagatas. It's not what I'm teaching. It's not what I'm hoping you'll attain. If he is something unmade, his self-essence being attainment, all the preparations brought forward for the realization of Tathagatahood will be useless. why learn all this stuff and work around your life to gain the insights to lead to something that is unmade? Yeah, it's just mental masturbation. You've heard that term before. Like a hare's horns or a barren woman's child, because of their never having been made. So what is it that you're reaching for? That which is neither an effect nor a cause, Mahamati, is neither a being nor a non-being. And that which is neither a being or non-being is outside the four propositions. We have to go back and you can look that up, the four propositions. The four propositions, Mahamati, belong to worldly usage, right? That which is outside the four propositions is no more than a word. Like a barren woman's child, it's just a word. It has no meaning in and of itself, yeah? Oh, but chair has a meaning. It's an accepted convention that we use to communicate. But just by uttering the word chair, does not a chair appear, right? It's empty. Mahamati, a barren woman's child, is a mere word and is beyond the four propositions. Because you can make words about things that will never exist. As it is beyond them, the wise know it not to be subject to measurement. So is the meaning of all the terms concerning the Tathagata to be understood by the wise. It's an individual experience. And because it's an experience, it's individual. You can't nail it down. It's not something you can go to Walmart and get off a shelf. It's an experience, and experience is always within a larger context. A context of your mind, of your life, of your karma, of the universe's karma, the earth's karma, It's that immense. It is told by me that all things are egoless. By this is meant, Mahamati, that they are devoid of selfhood. Hence, this is egolessness. Remember the question? What's the self nature of Tathagatahood? There is no self nature of Tathagatahood. What I mean is that all things have each its own individuality, which does not belong to another. As in the case of a cow and a horse. For example, Mahamati, the being of a cow is not of horse nature, nor is the being of a horse of cow nature. This exemplifies the case of neither being nor non-being. Each of them is not without its own individuality. Each is such as it is by its own nature. In the same way, Mahamati, things are not each without its own individuality. They are such as they are, and thus the ignorant and simple-minded fail to understand the signification of egolessness by reason of their discriminations. Indeed, they are not free from discrimination, as you are proposing, Mahamati. The same is to be known exactly about all things being empty, unborn, and without self-nature. In the same way, the Tathagata and the Skandhas are neither not different nor different. If he is not different from the Skandhas, he is impermanent, as the Skandhas are something made. Right? Your vision consciousness, your oral consciousness, your sensation of smell and touch, those are constructions of, right? Of electrical energies from molecules, atoms, so on and so forth. Right? We can analyze everything all the way down to energy. Yes, there are incredible multitudes of manifestations that come together to make blood, veins, flesh, eyes, brain. But they're still constructions. We know this medically because we have an engine of creation in our bone marrow of new cells that don't even know what they are. Know what they are. They're not identified until our body, our subsystem, our computer of DNA decides what that stem cell is now going to be. Go replace liver cells, go replace heart cell, go replace blood cell. Go do what you need to do to put yourself at work here or there, right? The DNA is like the great foreman. But we ourselves are an engine of manifesting potentials within the framework of our karma, just like the universe. How do you know that? How do you experience that? That's not something that you grab off a shelf. That's something that you have to, in this example alone, see as with not within your body, but within your mind, can perceive outside of your body, outside of physicality. If they are different, they are two separate entities. The case is like a cow's horns. As they look alike, they are not different. As one is short and the other long, they are different. This can be said of all things. Mahamati, the right horn of a cow is thus different from the left horn. So is the left from the right. The one is longer or shorter than the other. The same can be said of varieties of colors. Thus, the Tathagata and the Skandhas are neither different nor not different, and the one from the other. In the same way, the Tathagata is neither different nor not different from emancipation. He can be described in terms of emancipation. If the Tathagata is different from emancipation, he partakes of the nature of the material object. If he does not, he is impermanent. If he is not different, there will be no distinction in the attainments of the mendicants, practitioners, and Mahamati. A distinction is seen in the practitioners. Therefore, the Tathagata is neither different nor not different from emancipation. That's interesting, because now he's driving the point home to Mahamati that you're looking for Buddhahood to be something else. But when you find Buddhahood, you will see it in your nose, in the air, in the sun, in the chair, in your body's functions, in everything, because everything is doing the same thing, instantiating moment to moment in this samsaric world, which is itself. Well, light just died. I don't know why that happened. It did that all on its own, like it was conscious. Right? Everything is Buddhahood. But understanding that everything is this moment-to-moment process is the great equanimity. Everything is in the same process of expressing its potential, just like you and I. In the same way, knowledge is neither different nor not different from that which is known. That, Mahamati, which is neither eternal nor non-eternal, neither effect nor a cause, neither effect producing nor not effect producing, neither knowledge nor that which is knowable, neither predicated nor non-predicating, neither the skandhas nor different from the skandhas, neither that which is expressed nor not expression, nor bound up with oneness or anotherness, with bothness and not bothness, this is something removed from all measurement. That which is removed from all measurement is not expressible in words. That which is not expressible is something unborn. That which is unborn is not subject to destruction. That which is not subject to destruction is like space. And Mahamati, space is neither an effect nor a cause. That which is neither an effect nor a cause is something unconditioned. That which is unconditioned goes beyond all idle reasonings. That which goes beyond all idle reasonings, that is the Tathagata. It's a perceptive experience. It's a witness, not a person witnessing. A witnessing. Mahamati, this is the essence of perfect enlightenment. This is the self nature of Buddhahood, which is removed from all the senses and measurements. So it is said. And before I do that, let me try. Maybe there's a timer on this thing. Nope. That's amazing. That died much faster than I was hoping it would. Bummer. Back to the drawing board on that one. That which is released from senses and measurements is neither an effect nor cause. It has nothing to do with knowledge and that which is to be known. It is free from predicated and predicating. There is something which is nowhere to be seen by anybody as the skandhas, causation, enlightenment, of that which is nowhere to be seen by anybody. What description can we make? Do you understand what that means? Take, for instance, vision, sight. Buddhism sees it, yes, as a physical construct. Eyeball, nerves, electrical impulses, synapses, brain, all of this stuff working together to see. Vision consciousness, yes? That's the physical aspect of it. Your optometrist can talk about that all day, right? So on, so neurologists, so on and so forth. But can you grasp seeing? Can you grasp the vision consciousness? Is that something you can trade in? Hey, look at what my vision consciousness does, is, sees. Can you hand that over? Can you grab somebody else's? Let me see how you see. It's ridiculous, right? It's absurd. But if you consider that for a moment, you get closer to understanding what Buddha-ness is. Because the process that is instantiating moment to moment of life, vision consciousness is just one of the many expressions of potential that are occurring moment to moment. Buddha-ness is without time, outside time. So experiencing Buddha-ness is individual, but that Buddha-ness is available to all sentient minds from their own concept of experience of the world, of life, just like your vision. It's not transferable. It is, except your vision is predicated on your construction, whereas Buddha-ness is not. Your experience of Buddha-ness predicated on your construction, but Buddha-ness is not. It's not something manufactured of your construction. It is what your construction is manifest of. It is not something made or unmade. It is neither an effect or a cause. It is neither the skandhas nor the not the skandhas, nor is it other than the combination. There is something that is not to be seen by the discrimination of its being, nor is it to be known as non-existent. Such is the self-existence of all things. There's that equanimity again. Accompanied by being, there is non-being. Accompanied by non-being, there is being. As thus non-being is not to be known by itself, being is not to be discriminated. Those who cling to mere words, not knowing what is meant by an ego soul, an egolessness, are immersed in dualism. They are corrupted and lead the ignorant to corruption. When they see my philosophy liberated from all detriments, they behold properly. They do not defile the world leaders, or those emancipated ones. Now, he used the word religion here, and you know how abhorrent it is to see that as the words of Shakyamuni? No. That's Suzuki, the author, imposing his provincial idea of thought on us. That really angers me. It's the first time it's occurred in this book. All right, next part, we're going to, now Mahamati's going to ask another question. Mention is made of the canonical books being subject neither birth or not destruction, and is declared by you that this being subject neither to birth nor destruction is an epithet of the Tathagata. So obviously, again, he's going back to those earlier teachings, trying to find the answer in there, or trying to find a contradiction in what Shakyamuni is teaching. I guess it's the nature of students. I'm so disappointed in this. All right. With all of that, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. I look forward to seeing your comments if you have any. Otherwise, please keep your practice strong. Take care of your health. Don't forget to like, subscribe, support this channel if you can. My patrons, our patrons on Patreon or through PayPal. Or if you're, some of you are just buying books out of the bookstore. That's super helpful. That's very supportive, right? Or mandalas. That's very supportive of the store. So thank you. Thank you for those inputs. And I hope you get a lot out of the materials you've gotten. Certainly the mandala, but the books. And all of the free stuff on threefoldnotice.com. Avail yourself to that stuff. Thank you. Thank you. And I will see you in the next one, assuredly. Bye for now.